Ah, summer. What a great time to be self-employed.
Ha ha, suckers! Aw, man! Lame!
Welcome to the JobyCast. JOPY.com. Welcome to my squeaky little voice. Howdy, folks, and welcome. This is episode 30 of the JopyCast for the week of May 30th, 2007. I'm your host, where the freak have you been, Joe Jopy Fitzpatrick. The JopyCast is a very sporadic podcast that looks at the local music scene of Western Massachusetts. I'd like to begin this show with an apology for my delay. Between the spring weather and my band Unit 7 getting its act together, I've just had to put this show on the back burner, but here we are with another great show. I have a great interview for you. Wonderful drummer by the name of Micaiah McCraven. Very talented young man. He's got a very interesting point of view on things as well. And you're going to hear him kick my ass in a little drum duel. Of course, I'll have a little website to share with you and some other information I'll get to at the end of the show. My website of the week, you're soaking in it. That is, you're listening to it. That's slacker.com. For those of you who ever checked out pandora.com, it's a similar situation. Internet radio, you get to make up your own stations. I have to say that this one's focused more on commercial bands that are on major labels, where Pandora seems to really support a lot of more smaller labels and unsigned bands. But this is a great resource for internet radio, and I've been coming up with some really interesting hits, setting up radio stations like Frank Zappa, Kurt Vile, Steely Dan. All right, who's going to see the police? Anyway, slacker.com for another choice for internet radio, and it's free, and the sound is really good. Whatever compression they're using here, it sounds really great. All right, peace out. So make my quick and And in the studio with me, I have the wonderful Micaiah McCraven. Micaiah, thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Give us a little background as far as where you grew up.
I grew up in the early times in Northampton. I lived with my father and my mother, or moved up to Pelham, actually, when I was in sixth grade. And then I stayed here through high school and college. I've been studying with my father, who's a jazz drummer, since I was very young. I was in this group we called CMSS Bashers, the Community Music School of Springfield Bashers, and it was a drum percussion ensemble led by my father. I was the youngest. I was 7, and then I think there was like an 8 and a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old and like a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old and a 21-year-old. And we had drum set and floor toms, and it was like kind of like a marching band with a drum kit player. We played kind of like these funky grooves, and I remember being really young and playing in a mall, playing at like a talent show in Boston, which was like a big thing. All sorts of like different events at the school as well. Those are my first memories of performing.
And then as far as education beyond high school?
In high school is when I started to play with Cold Duck, the Cold Duck Trio. And a close friend who was always hanging out when we were playing, one day drops it on us that he had this little secret website that he had like made hip-hop beats and made raps over. And like didn't tell anybody, and had a different alter ego and all this other stuff. Like one time he just was like, you know, can I try to like do this with you guys? And we're like, of course, you know, and we did it. And it was like the best stuff that we'd ever done. And it was so much a little more cohesive than us just jamming out, you
right,
know.
Right.
And that really helped bring us together. And that's when, you know, it was the Cold Duck Trio and Platypus Complex.
I got a friend who wants to save the world. I love her intentions, she's a beautiful girl. But ideals get gone when the going gets tough. I don't know if it's enough. I got a friend who says he wants to die, cause he sees all the suffering but doesn't know why. I wanna tell him that he thinks too much. I don't know if it's enough. I got a friend who says she can't sleep.
Now, you went to college beyond high school?
I went to UMass. I've been going to UMass. Played in Jazz One there under the direction of Jeff Holmes. Been studying with Bob Galati over there, which has been really great. And he's got a totally different style than where my father's coming from. Steve McCraven, that's my dad. And he, you know, he hits hard and, like, he's got the energy. And that's, like, something that has always been a strong force in my playing. Bob has helped me be able to harness that more effectively so I can, like, unleash it rather than it consuming me all the time. Because that can happen. Like, music can just, like, you know, the little devil gets away, man. You try to, like, you try to keep it there, and, like, next thing you know, the dude is, like, running around, like, screaming, and you're, like, trying to tell him to come back, and then you don't know, then the song is, like, in another place, right. Which can be great, you know? It can be really cool, but sometimes, you know, like, to be able to be, like, to let him out and then pull him back in, say, like, lock him up in the cage.
It seems more effective if you know, keep it under wraps, and then when it's appropriate to let it go, you know, if you leave it out there all the time, it's just kind of, it just loses its effectiveness after a while.
Right. Know? Everybody will, you know, hear your chops in the first song. Through all this time, you know, when studying with various people, like Dr. Ed Byrne, who lives in Greenfield, and he's a great trombonist. And I started studying with him when I was, oh man, I must have been in like fourth grade. And he had this junior high jazz group, you know, that he needed a drummer. He called my dad, asked him if I could play. And I was like, you know, I went over there and I didn't even know how to set up a drum set, really. And I remember, like, my father was on the road. I would go to the thing at GCC, and these kids were all a little bit older than me, and we set up, and my mom would have to help me try to put the drum set together, and we'd be like, how the hell do we put this thing together? You know?
Man, that's too funny.
And, you know, and then I studied with him. I started playing in the Pioneer Valley Jazz Ensemble under his direction. He's taught me a lot about playing music rather than just playing the drums and what the difference is, you know, particularly in a jazz context. So things like he would talk about would be like, nonetheless, saving some of your material or some of your chops throughout a song. You know, you can't give everything in the first chorus, you know, but you also have to think about in an entire set, being able to not hold back, but at the same time, not show all your cards, you know, so you have something to say throughout the whole performance.
Nice.
You know, that was a big thing that he's given me.
You're kind of talking about this. My next question was important teachers.
No, I've studied with Claire Arrhenius.
Oh, yeah.
Briefly when I was younger. And I definitely have a lot of stuff that I've kept on from that. My brother, Chris Daly McCraven, he would take over all the drum lessons when my father was on the road. So I studied with him a lot.
Yeah.
That was always great. And just be around some of the people that my father was playing with, just the people that I've played with over the years. Yeah. You know, like, I'm the type of guy that's like, I always, like, you know, I always want to know what you're doing, you know. You know, and I'm really intrigued by music on all aspects. You know, I love to play the keyboard. I probably practice keyboards far more than I practice the drums. Mm. Just because it's new to me. I'm like breaking new ground faster than on the drum set.
Right.
It's like things are fresh and I kind of feel like, you know, like I don't know what I'm doing. It gives me joy to sit at a keyboard and like run standards and learn voicings and play melodies and such. So like all the keyboardists that I play with have been great, great teachers to me.
Nice.
You know, they've always, Paul Ursulanian is a great example of a great teacher for me. He brought me in as an accompanist at the UMass dance department. And so we would play duo twice to four times a week for dance classes.
I was wondering where that you guys hooked up, because I could tell that you were definitely hooked up when I heard you guys play.
Yeah, yeah. So we were playing, you know, four times a week during one semester. That was a lot of fun, you know, just duo and very improvised, but there would be the same choreography in the dance, so we would follow that musically and come up with different things to day to day. Nice. And I learned a lot about dance, the correlation between movement and music, and idiomatic jazz language through him as well.
Nice.
One day he came in and was just like, "You sound like crap when you play ballads."
We're gonna work on that.
Right after that, I went to Galati and I was like, "Help me play brushes."
Nice.
You know,
yes. That's a whole nother art, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really tough. And then, you know, and then guys like in the area too, like Vishnu,
yeah,
who have had me sit in and yelled at me on the bandstand.
Oh yeah.
For whatever, you know, that kicks your butt into like into gear too. You know, so all the community has been really good for me around here. The local musicians, and I'm very, very thankful to everybody. And my mother, I mean, how can I leave my mother out, is like as a musical influence? Because when I was in high school with Cold Duck, that was one of our first real gigs, was my mother playing back behind my mom.
Right.
So we played behind her, and this is actually a huge part of my development, is that she was having us play music in 7 and 5 and 9. Joe Cardoza, the bass player from Cold Duck, our rhythmic concept, I think, came a lot from us learning to play in 7 behind my mom and then going into a rehearsal and like getting like crazy with it, you know, and like really pushing how far can we go while we're in this odd time signature and like being really into it and just practicing playing that type of stuff and writing music of our own in different time signatures. And I really got into it. You know, I started to listen to Mahavishnu,
yeah,
and I started to listen to David Holland Quintet,
yeah,
when Billy Kilson was in the band. And I was like, wow.
I have to say, the first time I heard your mom sing, it just blew me away, because I had known her for a while as a school teacher. And then she had this performance that I went to, and I was just like, oh, my God. You're lucky that you were around such musically talented parents, I tell you.
Yeah, I feel very blessed, yeah, for that.
A little bit about some of your performance groups, Cold Duck Trio, Cold Duck Complex. Are there any other groups that you're playing with currently on a regular basis?
Well, I've been playing with Jeff D'Antona, the Jeff D'Antona Trio, with Tristan Gutner on the bass. That's been a lot of fun. He writes great compositions, and you know, I get a chance to play some of my compositions in the group. So that's been a lot of fun. And then sometimes I get to play with the guys from this band, Apollo Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
That's always a lot of fun. It's a totally different context. You know, it's just raw energy, rock, loud. Just go for it. And I love it. I love it. You know, I just like really think they have a cool energy. And I've been putting together my own groups, just kind of like experimenting.
A move to Chicago. I'm curious, why Chicago?
My girlfriend just got a really good job out there. She's teaching at Northwestern.
Holy cow, congratulations.
Chicago is just such a big move for me. It's just really exciting musically for me to be somewhere else. I've been going out there and I'm like, man, so many great musicians.
Oh,
out
really?
Here. You know, it's just cool. Like, and I'm really motivating and exciting. And I've already gone to the jam sessions and met people. And
good man, that's smart.
So, yeah, because she was out there since September. Okay. So I've been going back and forth, once a month, just hitting some jam sessions and trying to meet people and trying to know where things are. And so now when I go out there, I'm a step ahead of the game. And, you know, and I'm also, you know, maintaining my relationships out here. So
right. Well, that's one of my questions. I was curious what's going to happen to Cold Duck Complex. Are you going to try and keep that thing going
Right now we have gigs scheduled into May. We're trying to consolidate our gigs a little bit.
Yep.
Since September too, Joe and Casey, the MC and the bass player, have been living in New York City.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And we've been playing in New York a little bit more. We haven't been playing that many gigs. We've actually been kind of like just figuring out our Jeff D'Antona, who was our last keyboardist. He left the band to do his own project.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been just trying to figure out how we are going to follow through with the band. And they really wanted to move to New York, and I'm in school. We're just figuring out now, and we're like getting like some strings of gigs, you know, setting up some small tours. I'm already, you know, I have like 3 return dates from Chicago right now every month once, and I'll be here for like a week or two.
Oh, cool.
You know, just playing, which is, you know, it's actually, I feel like what I'm trying to do is by leaving is creating my gigs here better,
right.
Creating better gigs,
right.
And making and trying to get my act together. You know, just letting people know that I'm playing. Because, like, I always run into people and they're like, you didn't tell me you're playing? Or,
right.
Like, how am I supposed to know? Like, this and that. And I'm like,
You gotta update that MySpace page. Yeah. And, you know, because people check that space out now as far as who's playing where.
Yeah, yeah.
I do that all the time. So,
yeah, I'm trying to get my stuff together in the MySpace. And, you know, I'm going to be starting a website where I'm promoting and trying to sell a lot of the music that I'm making and I'm producing, because I've been producing a lot of music lately.
Right. And now you've had a stint over at the Pushkin Gallery up in Greenfield. What was that all about?
Well, I'm the musical director of the Pushkin Gallery right now. That entails putting together performances, getting musicians in the space, sometimes getting artists in the space, and promoting the shows.
What's that been like?
It's been really interesting. I think I've only just recently started to understand more what I need to do to make it work, and I've started having some more successful shows.
Makaya, I challenge you to a drum duel. This was a bad idea. You're freaking chops, man. When I watch you play, you just have chops up the freaking yin-yang. I can tell that you've spent a lot of time developing your chops, and I'm just curious if you still practice.
No. I do not practice the drums.
And is it just a matter of you play enough where you can keep your chops
together?
Yeah,
to be honest, I think some of my chops were, like, stronger when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Like, I could play faster.
Yeah.
You know, and
louder. Oh, I feel some of that stuff, yeah.
You know, I could play faster and louder
longer.
And longer, you know. But That's not always what has to happen. Right. And sometimes, you know, when it means to play faster, it means like I'm pumping up the tempo to like where I'm like playing a role as fast as I can. And then, the whole band would jump forward and it's like it's rushing. Now I feel like I can play within my chops more. So whether my chops are a little bit weaker, I have more finesse and I like to think of it like being outside of my body. And like knowing what's going on in the music, like the same thing without it letting it consume me. Like I was talking before, sometimes, I get totally consumed by the music and next thing you know, you don't know what you're doing, And while I'm over time and years and practice and like playing a lot of gigs, I feel like I'm gaining a lot of control in my mind. So it's not necessarily about, how fast can I play, but how can I use my chops,
right.
And I still play a lot, so it doesn't go away too much, but I don't practice like I used to. My father's very disciplined about the way he practices.
That's the hardest thing for me, man.
He sits down and he like just burns his chops, on a practice pad, in front of the TV every day for at least an hour, at least, sometimes much longer. And I did that for a long time.
Yeah.
And I kind of stopped doing that when I studied Bob and started to do more of the finesse type of stuff that he was working on, and a little bit more like independence type work, Right. And he's helped me a lot with my reading. But to practice, to sit down and practice, I don't do it that often, But I do practice the keyboard at least every day.
Well, there you go.
Every day I'll pretty much sit down on the keyboard. Because I find that like in a lot of the places I go, there's keyboards everywhere.
Right.
I have to like break down a drum set, set up a drum set.
Yeah.
Find a place where I'm not going to bother anybody and like make the neighbors and my mom and everybody angry and like all the stuff that goes along with being a drummer and making a lot of noise.
Right.
I can just sit at a piano or have a keyboard and put some headphones on and work on stuff. It's really motivating if I can't play a simple melody. I know so many jazz tunes that I can sing along with the heads.
Right.
I can't play it on the keyboard. I'm like, I know how it goes, and I'm getting a lot better at it. All the time. I always sit down. I'm like, whoa, hey, I can do that.
Nice.
Now I can, I can comp through tunes. With just a lead sheet. So it's really good. I practice that quite a bit.
That's excellent, man. It's great that you're taking on new challenges and new stuff, And now, do you play traditional or matched grip?
Matched. Because I tried to learn traditional sometimes, like when I'm playing jazz and I'm like trying to get like a touch, like I'll flip into it.
Yeah.
And then I realize like partway through that I'm like, I can't play what I want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it does give you a different touch and like a different sound, but I still don't have... I'm still not that comfortable with it, so it's not really, and I don't practice that much, so I'm not, not going to be building that much chops, and I don't have the power that some guys have for that.
Yeah.
Like watching Stuart Copeland, whack a snare drum, like traditional, is like unbelievable.
Yeah. I want to come back to Chicago a little bit and just talk to you about what direction, musically or professionally, do you think you might go once you get to Chicago? Are you going to teach? Are you going to strictly play? Do you have any plans?
My immediate plans are to go out there with a little bit of money in my pocket and try to play as much as I can. As for what scene I'm going to be over there musically, I still don't know. Like, I've been going to some jam sessions that were more in like the jazz community. This place, the Velvet Lounge, Fred Anderson runs that place, and there's some really cool music there, It's a different kind of a different breed of jazz than you find in New York. I like it. And but then there's all these other scenes, like I am really into hip hop, I am into like, more avant-garde, and I know there's a kind of cool rock scene out there that involves like bands like Tortoise and then Wilco.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not necessarily all avant-garde, but they have like just different. The rock scene's supposed to be really cool. There's definitely been some cool hip hop coming out from there lately. The jazz scene is like pretty progressive, but like Chicago is a bit of a insular community. There, like once you leave Chicago, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Not really. Yeah.
When you're in Chicago, you're somewhere, but like for miles in all directions, there's nothing. So people stay in the city.
Yeah.
But that's what makes the city so cool, because it has to be happening. You know, you can't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm going to be checking out lots of different scenes, trying to meet as many musicians as I can. And just who do I connect with? Who do I connect with? You know, like maybe even on a personal level, you know, before I even think about what music I'm making, you know, because I think it's important for you to have strong connections with the people you play music. I mean, that's not always the case. I mean, you could be at somebody's throat, you know, and want to kill them and be in a great band. But sometimes that doesn't happen until you guys have been playing together for a while,
right,
you know,
right.
And you've gone through you've gone through everything, you know. And you've gone through like the ups and the downs of being in a group, and you know, just all the interpersonal connection, like relationships that happen between people. I mean, working with people regardless can be extremely difficult, because everybody, you know, has their incentives and what they want to do. And also, we're dealing with music, and it's very personal and very emotional. It gets very touchy, and people like really think, you know, really want to do what they want to do, and dealing with those relationships can be really difficult, you know, and rewarding as well. Extremely rewarding and difficult. And you know, I know so many groups that just deal with different types of struggles with their relationships, and they get through it, and they have rough times and they have good times, and it's just like having, you know, an intimate relationship
with three or four people at the same time.
Your missiles for a talking head. This one is dedicated to the walking dead. I said, get up, stand up, come on, throw your hands up and fight back before they try to lock you with your mans up. It ain't no joke, like clouds of gun smoke. Invisible prisons got your mind in the yoke. Keeping cages filled, cause it pays the bills. They make us ill, the medicate with pills. I ain't trying to get on.
All right, we're gonna switch to something I call the lightning round. This is just something to kind of wrap it up. Pizza or burritos?
Burritos.
Beer or whiskey?
Whiskey.
Ping pong or Xbox 360?
Xbox. Xbox.
I don't even play the game.
I don't know about Xbox, but I love Guitar Hero.
Four-wheel drive or hybrid?
Hybrid.
Musical theater or action flick?
Action flick.
Tofu pups or fried dough with powdered sugar?
Fried dough with sugar.
Makaya, that was great, man. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
That was awesome. Micaiah McCraven, remember that name, my friends. I think you're going to be hearing a lot more from this gentleman. He's got a couple MySpace pages, as does Cold Duck Complex. Lots of free stuff to hear there. Check that out. You know where there are links. Jopey.com.
Do it!
JOPEY.com. Welcome to my squeaky voice.
I've been hoping to see you everywhere I go. Hoping to see you everywhere I go. I've been out every night because you just never know. I've been hoping to see you everywhere I go. Been hoping to see you on my way to the store.
And you know what? We're hoping to see you here Sunday, July 8th, for the annual Big Bash. That's right. Joe and Sandy's annual Big Bash here in Belchertown, Massachusetts. Don't miss it. 1 p.m. Bring a picnic food to share. There'll be plenty to drink here and live music by Unit 7. Amara MF Khanna featuring Ed Vadis and Sue Burkhart. And some very special guests. Don't miss it, Sunday, July 8th, 1 p.m. And a super quick rave. I got a rave about the food over at The Dirty Truth in Northampton. I can highly recommend the vegetarian chili bowl. Oh man, served in a bread bowl. Delicious. And just about any beer you can imagine. Unbelievable. The Dirty Secret. Get over there in Northampton. That's my rave. All right. Thanks for listening, folks. Keep a lookout for The Losers. The Losers will now be their own separate podcasting thing going on soon. So keep an eye on that. Jopi.com. Thanks, Micaiah. You rock. And see you Sunday, July 8th. Cool, people. Peace out. This episode powered by my egg and hummus and cheese sandwich. Jopi.com. Jopi.com. Welcome to my squeaky little voice. Welcome to my squeaky little voice. Jopi.com. Welcome to my squeaky little voice. I say a J-O-P-E-Y.